You open that one, I'll do this one. Oh, that's a nice one. Yeah, that's the gusseted one.
Long handles.
Yeah, I like that. This is quite thick. Touch it.
This feel.
This would be good for books or vinyl.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people are carrying vinyl nowadays? I don't know.
I carried a record home yesterday.
You've just completely disproven my point.
Sorry.
Well done. No, that's good.
This one is thinner. It doesn't feel as substantial as that, but actually thinking about it, we need to post these, don't we? Yeah. It's going to be a good old carriage cost with that.
Yeah. I'm thinking not large letter. I'm thinking small parcel. Who are we?
This is Gas Bags. I'm Sophie.
And I'm Anna. This is our weekly huddle around the table at our non-profit podcast studio, Soundyard. We chat candidly about the good bits and the bad bits, play each other sounds that we found, and swap podcast recommendations.
This week's been sprinkled with lots of lovely good bits, from developing exciting podcast ideas to tote bags. And the bad bit is something we're not sure we actually want to tell you, but we probably will anyway.
My turn for found sound, and I got up close and personal to a bottom.
And in our podcast swap, I have a family-friendly storytelling adventure all about Greek mythology.
And there's gold in them there hills for mine.
Let us settle in with our good bits.
Our good bits bit this week, we have had someone wander in with a beautiful podcast idea that we're very excited to work on. So we're busy getting our mind churning around what we can do for that. And we love that. We love it when people come in and they've got like a brand new, cool idea that hasn't really been done before. So yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, it sends your brain into a really creative mode, I think. Anyway, and I'll spend my week doing the washing up and then thinking, oh, that would be really good for that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you
it
just
it takes going, a while, though, yeah, doesn't it? It doesn't come straight in which case, when people give either of us an idea, if we don't immediately have ideas come straight, it's because it needs time to develop.
Yeah, you need thinking time.
The bath is a good place for me.
Really?
Mm.
Ooh, I don't think in the bath.
Oh. Not a think tank your end, then. Oh, sorry.
Oh, my God. No, I don't. That's just one of those moments where everything flies out of my head.
No,
it's great. There's quite a few moments like that.
I spend most of my day with that brain. Oh, we had the lovely group of young people come in and make a podcast together, and they worked so nicely, didn't they?
Yes, this is our home education kids workshop that we did, and it was a bit of a punt. We didn't know how popular it would be or how it would work, and it was brilliant.
It was great. We realised when we were editing it later on that I don't know what it is about us, but we somehow give young people the confidence to make everything quite terrifyingly horrible. And like,
about murder is what you're trying to say.
Essentially murder without saying in violent death.
I think almost every workshop that we've done with teenagers or preteens, and we've given that sort of wonderful moment of giving free creative control to them to make whatever they like, it is always about grisly murder.
Mm. I think it's because they feel like they're being slightly anarchic by doing that. And they think they're going to stop us at any point. Creativity for me is like, just let people do exactly what they want to do. And they were great. They were learning loads of skills. They were getting the musical instruments out and recording those. And they were writing and working out sound effects, downloading those. And the hours flew by.
Another really nice part about it was watching kids that hadn't met before. Yeah, they're just kind of thrown into this 3-hour session together.
And they made friends, which is lovely.
Perfect. A tiny good bit, the tote bags arrived this week. We opened them earlier.
We were talking about tea towels a couple of episodes ago. We're now opting for tote bags.
This is for Chris Skinner's Countryside podcast, which we produce. We're just looking for some merch.
Hmm.
And this lovely company keeps sending us fantastic
samples. And so we're hoping to get some of those printed and we'll have them as a bit of exclusive merchandise. Wow. None for Gas Bags yet, but we'll get there. Another good bit is that our finances and bookkeeping isn't due until June. And we have made a start this week, which I think is absolutely fantastic, given that it's March, leaves plenty of room for error. It's turning, however, from a good bit of like, oh, aren't we great, into a slightly like bad bit in that we're missing quite a few receipts.
I think missing's a strong word. I think misplaced.
Misplaced.
Is accurate.
Yes, they are.
They must exist somewhere in the world.
Yeah.
Neither of us would have thrown these things out.
No.
You don't look convinced.
Not from you, but definitely from me. Oh. I know. Because I sort of, when I get a receipt out of my bag, it looks like it's been through the digestive system of a cat. It honestly, it's lost all of its print. It's haggard. It's like it's been chewed, used for chewing gum. Mm. And it's like, oh, I can't really submit that.
So you just chuck it. You've been chucking our receipts because they've got chewing gum on. Good.
It's going to be fine. The companies that we've bought anything from, just basically Roy's. future sponsor.
We've mentioned them twice now.
There they are.
They owe us money.
Or just the receipts for these particular transactions would be great. So from what is a good bit is probably going to go further down the road, creep into the bad bits. So just to prepare you for that.
Bad bits wise, just as a little update, we still haven't had any news from the energy company. So that's for another week and just continues to haunt Tanner and I like an everlasting ghost in our minds. Moving on. Other bad bit. Now, we had a little chat before we started recording this about whether we were going to come clean with you about this bad bit. And I think we've landed on the fact that this is supposed to be a candid podcast where we talk about all of our problems properly. Mm. And so be it.
Yeah. Now, I don't want anyone to be put off to come and see us. We have a bit of a fly problem. No one has died here. Nothing like that. They're fruit fly style fly. And they love our plants, our sort of partially rotting plants. And they're everywhere. We've hoovered them, we've like mopped them, and they just keep coming.
So what we've done is we have researched this, and they are like tiny little flies that really like the surface of indoor plant pots. And we have bought some spray that deals with this matter. And this morning I've taken all of the plants that we can reach outside into our back porch and have gone to town on them with that spray, hoping that this is going to be the thing that nips this in the bud and stops it being a problem. It's not like swarming with them in the place. It's just, it's one of those things where you're sat there and they just love going near your face.
Yeah.
And it is embarrassing.
We had a group in on Thursday. A comms team had come in, lovely bunch, had come in to revamp their podcast. And it was just like, I could see you and I just exchanging looks of people when they're like swatting the fly away and you're like, oh God.
Yeah.
And that was just a bit, oh.
Hopefully that's come to an end though. I think we've dealt with it now.
Yeah, dealt with it. Yeah, we have. We've sprayed to our heart's content and I'm just hoping that they don't return.
Good bit?
Potentially bad bit. I'm going on holiday.
Why is that a potentially bad bit?
Holidays are just not the same after having children. And that's fine because they bring so much joy. But when you just need a jolly good rest. I mean, actually, we've done ourselves no favours. We're hiring a camper van, which you can't swing a cat in, let alone a toddler. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to not being in my house.
I hope it doesn't rain.
Oh, thanks. So do I. She says from the smug warmth of her home. It's going to be fine. I am looking forward to it. Baby Billy is so excited about the van because we picked it up yesterday and he was like, can we sleep in it tonight? No. We've got 4 nights in it to come. We're sleeping in our bed tonight. But he was, you know, very excited to work out which toys he's going to bring and that he's going to have his scrambled egg in the van. He's very excited about his scrambled egg. And it's great. It's got a toilet. It's got a shower. Bish, bash, bosh. my turn for found sound this week, and I'm chuffed to bits with this week's found sound. We managed to catch one of those glorious days that we occasionally get at the moment when the sun is out, and we went to Howe Hill Nature Reserve. We rolled down the hill because there's a little bit of a hill there. There's not many in Norfolk, but there's a little undulation in Howe Hill and you get to roll down. And I remember doing that as a child, and now here I am doing it with mine. I always like doing that. And the dog was running around chasing his ball. We went on the lovely woodland walk that they've got there and just admired the amount of different daffodil varieties they've got. There's loads of logs to balance on. It's just really fun for children. And we had a picnic too, which really was just some crisps on a log.
My kind of picnic.
Yeah, crisps and a banana. We then saw a stationary something basking in the sun. So I put my phone really close up to its bum, and this is what we got.
Up to its bum?
Yeah, it was the first one I'd seen this spring, and boy, it was a lazy one.
It was like, how are you gone?
Hang on.
So next time they start flying, we've got to stay super, super quiet so we can hear them buzz. See how the pollen gets stuck on their legs.
I'm not sure if we got any of that, but there we are.
I mean, David Attenborough, I am not.
I really enjoyed your running commentary on that. That's lovely.
There are bits I had to take off of me going, shh, Fergus, will you be quiet? That's the dog, not the baby.
Fergus!
Because you did hear him doing a pig snort in there. Yeah, he does do that.
I got a little bit confused because I thought that was the thing you'd found to begin with.
I wanted to highlight just how amazing microphones are in your telephone. They're so easy to use. Just have a little flick through of there's a search option in there and press record on something. And that was a bee.
It's so lovely. It feels like spring.
Yeah. And we were close to this bee, but not touching it. And it picked up that amazing sound, amazing buzz.
Yeah, it's so gorgeous. And it's not a mechanical sound. It's an elegant sound. And nothing else sounds like a bee.
No. You know exactly that is a bee.
Those wings beating and, oh, God, I want to be at Howe Hill right now.
Oh. No, it's nice though. It was really lazy and clearly needed a bit of sugar. So we dipped a daffodil down and it like shimmied itself in, was having got its enormous proboscis out. I know.
It's what?
It's like its tongue. Is that right? I think it's
proboscis. No, it's great. I'm just very impressed. Do you know what that's called?
They were so much bigger than you think.
Wow.
These tongues, they're like longer than their legs. It's amazing. And they're going right into this daffodil. And I think that gave it a bit of a zhuzh because then it really went off and just felt better. So if anything, we saved a bee.
You did. Well done. I'm so looking forward to when the allium come out in a few months' time and you get the bees lazily crawling over those giant heads of allium with all the hundreds of little tiny flowers. Drunk on them.
They are drunk, aren't they? Yeah, drunken bees. We'll have to record that and get a comparison going of an early spring bee and an allium pissed as a fart bee.
We absolutely must. Anna, what a beautiful found sound. Thank you. Podcast swap time. So, in my house, the podcast that has had most airtime in recent times is one that was actually suggested to us, you and I, Anna, here at Soundyard by some young people we were working with. And I've heard this banded around a bit as well, and I thought I need to get on this and see what it's like. It's National Geographic Make This. It's actually National Geographic Kids. It's called Greeking Out. And it's an amazing podcast. It's all about Greek mythology. So the stories of gods and goddesses and heroes and monsters. It's kid friendly, but honestly, as an adult, I like listening to this. It's brilliant. It's told so engagingly and it's quite simplistic in style, really, but done just really well. It's hosted by a narrator called Kenny Curtis, who apparently has worked in kids' radio for over 30 years. And actually, that's the key to this. Yeah. he just knows how to engage when he's storytelling. It's nicely crafted with Kenny doing a lot of the storytelling. And then you've got the Oracle of Wi-Fi, which is played by Tori Kerr. Tori breaks in with this kind of robotic sounding voice with facts and little like exciting bits on ancient Greek history and culture, and sometimes correcting Kenny as well. So it's almost kind of co-hosted in that sense. It's just brilliant. There's, I think, 9 series now. The first few series have about 5 episodes in, and the most recent ones have 10. They last from between sort of 14 minutes, I think is the shortest one I found, to 30. But they're roughly 20 minutes each time, which is kind of perfect if you've got kids that are maybe 6+ who like to listen to stuff as they go to sleep. So I started at the very beginning because I know I'm going to listen to all of these multiple times. And the first episode is Jason and the Quest for the Golden Fleece. There are a lot of Greek myths that you'll be like somewhat familiar with, but actually hearing someone tell this in story form in a way that children can digest is great for adults too, because it just refreshes, it makes it stick in your head. Echo and Narcissus was another one that I've listened to recently. And then they have these brilliant episodes where they're kind of more like thematic. So Ancient Greek Monster Mash is one of the ones from season 1 as well. The Olympians and the Titans, the Stories of the Stars. We listened to one earlier in the office, didn't we, Anna, all about the underworld.
I love it. You've got this sat-nav voice coming in, correcting everything that the host is doing. It was very funny. We were laughing out loud at it. And I think whether you were read to when you were younger, my dad did try and read the Odyssey to us. And I remember him reading it to us, but I have no idea about the story and have completely forgotten almost everything.
Do you know, one of the things I really love about parenting and having children is getting to relearn stuff that's fallen out of my head. Yeah. And this is one of those things. I've always loved ancient Greek philosophy, and I know a fair amount of mythology, but this has actually given me a greater depth of knowledge, or at least a broader, wider sense of Greek mythology as well. Kids podcasts is a world that I'm sort of dipping into a lot more now. The thing that this does really well is it's exciting and dynamic, but it's not whizzes and bangs and like you could listen to it at bedtime and still fall asleep to it.
Oh, nice. Is there a gap in the market for children's podcasts? Is it being served fully?
There is, yeah. There are a lot of children's podcasts, but I think that there could always be more. And it's something that I'd quite like to have a go at doing.
Ooh.
What do you reckon?
I reckon you'd be
good at it too.
Oh, I'd love it, yeah.
Where's our list? It's getting longer and longer.
It's in my mind. Hang on, let me open it.
So it's Greeking Out, National Geographic Kids. Go and check it out, even if you don't have kids. It's great.
Okay, well, I fancied a mini-series this week. I wanted to binge something and, you know, really get a story in there that I fancied. And I went for something called Missed Fortune, which is an Apple original podcast. It's a 9-part series that's documenting a treasure hunt in America. So in 2010, a man called Forrest Fenn decided to hide a treasure chest full of gold and jewels somewhere in the Rocky Mountains. He then released clues to finding this treasure in his book in the form of a 9-clue poem, hence the 9 episodes that are in there. It's a very compelling listen. They explore why Forrest Fenn would want to do this. He said it was to get families out and about exploring, but actually he's a collector of a lot of historic artefacts himself, and it feels more like he wants his name to go down in history for making this treasure hunt.
Where is it based?
Yellowstone National Park.
Oh, okay.
So, but they're dipping in all sorts of different places because it goes to different clues across that area. It's like 3 states, isn't it?
So do you have to like solve one clue to get to the next type thing?
No, it's really unknown, to be honest. It's just lots of random people having a go at this, and there's so many people trying to discover it. Some people do it that way and think that one thing moves to a different place. Other people are finding the descriptions within the clues to that a specific site and then trying to search there. And then you've got that physical thing of having to search. But Forrest Fenn says that a child could solve it. He says, I'm not doing this for like short term. I don't want someone to go and find it next week. I want someone to go and find it in 100 years. It's something that could really, really continue for that long. I want someone to fall upon it. each episode, they talk about the various problems with this, though. When you've got a pile of gold that is up for grabs, people will do whatever it takes to get it, because it feels like you're finding an equal playing field if you've been dealt any hardship in your life. For one man, Daryl Sayer, this quest turns into quite a dangerous obsession that leads to all sorts of problems for him. Ends up getting arrested and convicted. He's not really meant to be going back to these sites because he's broken some rules as to when you go onto a national park in America. But they really explore who owns history and who makes history and the protection or overprotection of artefacts that are discovered. Forrest Fenn has a house where people can turn up and look at all of the things that he's found over the years. And he argues that people should be able to touch history. What makes something historic? And who qualifies that? Who decides that? And then you've got all of these museums with so many rich artefacts. They haven't got enough space to showcase them. So why are we worried about people touching them if a breakage happens? I just found that conversation all very interesting. Like, for what reason are we storing history? A really interesting part in episode 5, where the journalist who's created this, Peter Frick Wright, who's making the series, moves from documenting one of Daryl's expeditions to then getting caught up in the gold fever and having ideas of his own. So it's really taken a bit of a turn in this episode. There's a really lovely, beautiful episode where you learn more about Daryl as well and the really the bad fortune that's hit him through terrible circumstance in his younger years. And he's had a really, really tough time. And it makes his behaviour and his obsession, his addiction to this treasure hunt really understandable and really relatable. And I'm not at the end yet. I don't know how it's going to end because it is you're kept in suspense. It's worth a listen. They explore all different nuances as to, people making competitions and like leaving legacies and sort of almost playing with people with addictions. It's like it's the closest thing to like an addiction series that isn't about drugs or alcohol or anything like that. It's about just trying to seek a fortune in your life and what that means and having that carrot dangled in front of you. Missed fortune. Enjoy.
Thank you, Anna. If you are enjoying listening to Gas Bags every week, would you do us a solid? Would you mind doing a little review and rating this wherever you're listening to it? It helps us reach more people.
Yeah, we'd love it.